Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Zayin. We begin six lines from the top of the Amud. Today we're going to discuss the various halachas pertaining to the ritual, pre-meal wash, Netilas Yodayim Harishonim before the meal, all kinds of halachas, all kinds of details. Here goes. Amar Rav Papa. First halacha is Koyach Gavra. The washing has to be brought about by way of manual. Koyach Gavra. It has to be done manually. It has to be a manual effort. It can't just be, you know, some water flowing along and you're going to use that to wash your hands. So here's an example. Amar Papa, Haya Risa. You have this ditch, this canal, which stretches from the river over to the fields. It's some sort of manual, you know, irrigation system where the farmer would actually draw water into the pail from the river and pour it into the channel, which then carries over through the fields. Haya Risa, this channel, did the loy, into which they pour water, which is drawn from the river. Dli is a pail, of course, the loy that they draw from the river with that pail, and they pour it in. So you have Reuben doing it on this side, and Shimon's 100 feet away, sees this water swooshing by, sticks his hands in for Netila Sedayim before lunch. No, Ein. Neitlin, Mimena Leidayim. You can't do that. It doesn't count for Netilas Yadayim. You know why? Because it's not coming by way of manual force. The initial force of that manual effort has already dissipated. As the water just flows along, bumps along, by way of its momentum. It no longer relates back to the ma'asa, to the act, to the koyach gavra, the actual pour. The lo yosem koyach gavra, no longer considered as coming mi koyach gavra through manual force. But ve'imikrav legabe davla, but if Shimon is standing right near the person pouring the water, so that water still has the initial force coming from that person, the ka'as, where it's coming b'kayach gavra, then noitl menul yidam, we use it until sedam. Now, although we did learn yesterday that you can dip your hands into a pool as well, into a mikvah, but here, there's no shiur. It's just a little stream, it's not, doesn't qualify, it doesn't have the proper quantity to constitute a mikvah, and therefore, dipping, immersing wouldn't work. Unless you have a proper Netilas Yadayim, which requires manual force. Next point, another aspect of this phenomenon is Viba Zia Davla, Bekoinis Mashka. Suppose, if while the fellow is drawing the water with the Davla, with that pail, it has a hole, and a rather big hole. Bazia means it has a hole. Davla, the pail, Bekoinis Mashka, which would allow water from the outside in, which is a bigger hole than just dripping out from the inside out. So how do you know that it allows water in? Let's say you have a hole and you put the pail with the hole on top of water and you see if the water seeps in. So if it's a big enough hole, the water would seep back in. And again, this is a bigger hole that's required than just the teeny hole from which it can seep out. Here you're going against gravity or whatever. So if you bazeh davel bekoines mashker, allows water in, then if as you drawing the water out of the river, there's a flow, there's a trickle from that pail, from that hole in the pail, that holy pail, back out to the river. So at that point, you're still connected. That stream, which is rather large, effectively connects the content, the water content of the pail with the river back there. In which case, the water in the pail is considered part of the river entity. And since the river is big enough to qualify as a mikvah, of course, you can dip your hand into the pail. And you fulfilled Netilas Yadayim in this manner. Tbilas Yadayim, right? Melef Lifei, so it's connected. Right? So the actually, Shari Rashi says you're going to dip your hands even in the ditch, in the canal, meaning you're pouring into the canal, and as you're pouring, that water that's dropping into the canal is connected to the water in the pail, which is still connected to the river, right? So one big flow of water. So then you can dip your hands into the ditch with the water, and it counts as a Tevilas Yadayim, which is a form of Netilas Yadayim. Now, interestingly, Rashi says, you see, typically, in order to connect two pools and make them into one mikveh, needs to be a real connection, a big connection, a large flow. Shviferes Hanoid, it's like two finger widths. It's a pretty significant hole. Here it's a very small hole. Rashi says, here it's not like not a real mikveh, you don't need a real tevila, it's a takanas hacham for Netilas Yadayim. And this rather, minor connection suffices. Melef Lifei. So the water in the canal is deemed connected to the river through the pail. Umat bilba, you can do tefillah in that water as a yadayim. Ve'omar Rava. On the flip side, kli shenika b'kanis mashke, we have a kli, a container, which experienced a hole. It got a big hole, b'kanis mashke size. That kli is no longer really a container. The water just trickle flows out. You can't use it for washing your hands. In contrast to the previous example, where it wasn't really being used to wash, it was just used as a conduit between the channel and the river, that's okay, because you're ultimately dipping your hands and doing tefillas yadayim in the river through this whole system. But suppose it's just a regular wash. You can't pour water out of this kli and use it until Siddayim, because it's not a proper container. Vama Rava. Some more halachis regarding the kli itself. Vama Rava kli she'ein by revius, ein noitlin mimenu liyadayim. Now, it would seem from the simple wording of Rava, here is teaching that unless the cup used for washing currently has inside of it a revius. Revius is a quarter of a luk, 3-4 ounces of water. It cannot be used for washing Netilas Yadayim. So it's all about the water content in the kli. Eini, is that so? That this, in fact, is a prerequisite for Netilas Yadayim? But Amar Rava, Rava tells us, it would seem from the next statement of Rava, it's not about what's currently in the kli. It's about the size of the kli. If the kli can accommodate a revius, then it's a properly sized kli and it can be used for Netilas Yadayim, but it's not about what's in there right now. Even if there's less than a revius, it would seem not to be an issue. But Rava teaches us elsewhere, a kli shein machzik revius, a kli which cannot hold a revius, it doesn't qualify as a kli for, ein noitmen leyadayim. It doesn't really qualify as a proper container for Netilas Yadayim. It can't hold a minimal amount of Ha-machzik. However, it would seem that if in fact the kli is large enough that it could accommodate revius, then what's inside of it now is not relevant. Even though there's no revius inside it. And this is in contrast to the previous statement of Rava, who seemed to put importance on the actual content, the current content of the kli, requiring a revius of water to initiate Netilas Yadayim? Loikash, the answer is like this. One person or two people. Meaning, sure, for one person to wash, he needs to have two conditions met. The kli has to be big enough to contain a revius, and there needs to be a revius of water in there before he starts washing. But suppose he's finished, and there's a little of water left over. He only happened to use 2 ounces, his small hands, okay? Shimon walks over and picks up that same kli with the remainder, with the just 2 ounces in there, the shirayim, right? He can wash his hands with that if he can cover his hands properly, because it's leftover. It's shirayim, shiore tahara, remnants of water which had been designated and been allocated for Tehillat Yadayim, and been used for Tehillat Yadayim. This is a special halacha discussed in the Mishnah coming up. It's not as we have in the Mishnah. May revius, may is water, revius, a revius of water, noitlin leyadayim, can be used for Tehillat Yadayim le'echad, afilu shnayim, for one or even two people. So basically, the first person needs to start with a revius, but whatever he leaves behind, that's good enough for the second person. It's called shiori tahara, Rashi says, shiori tahara. Amalei Rav Sheshes, he asked, La Meimar, Kabdusu Amano? Are you meticulous about your container before you wash? Does it have to be a shalem? Whole, complete, without holes? Amalei says, for sure, in, yep, Achazusa. Are you concerned about the appearance? Are you makbid on the appearance of the water that should look like water? Amalei, in, he says, yeah, 100%. Ashura, what about the revius? You know, halacha, does it have to have a revius of water? Amalei, in, he says, yep. Ikad Amri, there's a different version. Hachi Amalei, he responded to him a bit differently. Two out of three. Amona v'chazusa kaptina, were concerned. We're meticulous about the kli being intact, and also about the appearance of the liquid. Should appear like water. But I tell you the truth, ashiura lekabdina, we're not concerned about it being a revius of water. It's not, as we learn in the Mishnah. May revius, noitun liyadayim le'echad afilu shnayim. A revius of water can accommodate one washer, or even two. Apparently you don't need a revius per person. Lohi, says the Gemara, actually it's incorrect, because although standard procedure is, you must start your wash with a revius, but there we're speaking about the second fellow who's picking up on the first one, like we explained before. Shani yosin mishum doko osu mishira tahara. The you know, whatever's left in that cup is called shiore tahara. It's left over from tahara, from water which initially was a revius and had been used in the context of Tehillat Yadayim. Askin Rav Yaakov from the town of Menahar Pekoid, he established a standard, a natla. Actually, says it was a glass container, like, you know, they have a ministry of standards and measurements. He had this standard glass, you know, revius glass in his house, so that everybody can use that as a prototype for their own, you know, cups at home. Natla bas, which contained a revius, you know, haluk. Askin Rav Ashi established in the town of in Hutzel. This time it was a kuza, it was a clay container, again, with a bas, revius, which had revius, so everybody can use that as their, you know, prototype. Ve'omarov, it comes another chiddush. Meguf haschavis. You have a barrel cap, which is meant to cover the barrel, not meant to be used for washing. Chetikni, fixed it up. He altered it, he modified it. He carved out a container within it. You can use it for netilas yadayim. Noitlin men leyadayim. Tanam yachi. We have a brisa which supports this point that even though initially it wasn't manufactured for this purpose, ultimately it's hard material, it's a perfect fine container. Mugubas chavetz shetikna noitlin men leyadayim. So this cap, which was modified, can be used for netilas yadayim. Likewise, a chemes or kfisha. Rashi says these are midnei noides shel oirhein. These are these leather pouches. So, if they were, you know, fixed up, that they can, you know, stand on their own, and, you know, shetikna noitlin mehem leidaim. Likewise, they can be used for washing. But sak v'kupa, sack material, kupa, some sort of box or whatever that's not really, you know, meant to hold liquid. Ava bishem makabim, even if he fixed it up, he, you know, coated it with pitch or whatever, that he, you know, it's now firm and can be used as a container. Ein noitlin mehem leyadayim. You can't use it for Tehillat Yadayim because it doesn't count as a kli regarding Tehillat Yadayim, which is meant to use. You know, a container which was made to hold liquid, to hold water. So even though initially it wasn't meant to be used in this context, like the cap or like the, right? But in terms of the material, the format, it was able to handle water, as opposed to this Sakva Kupa, which initially did not have this ability. So even if he modified it, it does not count as a kli regarding Tilas Yadayim. Iboilu. Now comes an interesting question. Chacham instituted a takana, a mitzvah, to wash your hands before eating the staple food, the staple element of a meal, which is bread. And we learned yesterday this is on account of truma, right? So the kehanim should be accustomed to guarding their truma properly with tahara. So ultimately it's a matter of concern of handling, that he might actually touch the material with hands which are not tahara. What if he eats his food wrapped? He wraps his bread in a cloth, in a napkin. Could that serve as a substitute for washing hands? I mean, ultimately, he's not touching the bread, or he doesn't plan on. But perhaps you can say the chachamim, we're not going to differentiate. Keep it clear, consistent, and you need to wash under all circumstances. So that's the question coming up in the Gemara. Iboilu. So the members of the yeshiva had a question. Ma ulechel b'map? Is one allowed to eat his bread wrapped in a mapa? Shall we be concerned that perhaps he'll inadvertently touch that bread as he's handling it? Or maybe no, be careful. Tashma, it comes a riot, an attempt at a riot. We have a Mishnah Masech HaSuk regarding the great Tzaddik, Rabbi Tzaddik. Ukshenosnoi Rabbi Tzaddik. Oichel. Pachois. Mikabes. When they served Rabbi Tzaddik, some bread, a small portion of bread, less than the volume of an egg, which does not require eating in the sukkah. It's not considered a kibbutz, a shear of a meal, of a suda. They gave him less than that. How did he conduct himself? Firstly, noit le b'mapa. He took hold of it with a mapa. So it was wrapped in some sort of cloth. He didn't make direct contact with the bread. He ate it outside the sukkah because it's just like a snack, which does not require sukkah. Likewise, he would not bless, he wouldn't make a Birchas HaMazon for less than a kibbetza, which according to him does not require Birchas HaMazon. He was assuming, my love, let's assume that this allowance to eat without Tilas Yadayim was because it was less than the amount which would trigger Tilas Yadayim, which is a kibbutz, a shir suda. My love, let's assume, how kibbutz, had it have been a full kibbutz, he would not have handled it with that napkin. By Tilas Yadayim, he would need Tilas Yadayim. Apparently, a napkin is not a substitute. Says Gemara, no. Perhaps even if it would have been a large-sized piece of bread, he would not have insisted on washing. He would have used a napkin. The reason why it needed to be less than a kibbutz, that relates to the other aspects of this story. Dilma, perhaps we can learn ha-kibbutz. If it were a kibbutz, by a sukkah or by a bracha, that he would have to eat in the sukkah. And that would require a birchas hamazon. So we don't really have a resolution on this question. Can a person substitute a napkin for a Tilas Yadayim? Toshmai comes another ride. The Shmuel, what was the story? Shmuel, he encountered Rav. Ashkhil Rav, the Gachba Mapa. Oh, he was having his bread with a mapa without washing. Omar Lay. So he tells him, we turn to him in base. Avdan Kadain. Is this, in fact, the proper mode of conduct to use a napkin instead of washing? Amarle, he says, Datik Tzaralai. He says, no, I already washed my hands, but I'm, finicky. And, I can't eat my food with directly. I need to have some sort of a napkin. In English, I need to eat everything with a fork and knife. So it was a matter of, cleanliness, of preference. It wasn't a matter of ritual, hand washing issue. It was just a matter of, for sure he washed his hands. Kisolag Rav Zera. We have another story. When Rav Zera arrived up in Eretz Yisrael, who did he find here? Ashechinu, he found the Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, and they were eating in the same manner. They were eating their bread, bevavloi, worn out chamasais of these leather patches, just a scrap of leather, sort of as a napkin around the bread. Omar, he says, you're making a mistake. Trey Gavri, Ravari, two such great men, Kabasaicha, like you, Litu, would misunderstand, would make a mistake regarding that story, misinterpret Bederav Shmuel. So he assumed that their conduct was based on their understanding, or according to his version, misunderstanding of misperception of that story. Figuring that Rav really was using his napkin instead of washing it, and likewise they were following his track. Hadatik Tzorah Ka'amar. Rav clearly clarified that it wasn't a matter of substituting for Netil Sadaim, you're just doing it for cleanliness. Hadatik Tzorah Ka'amar. So you shouldn't be doing this, you have to wash. Says the Gemara, Ishtamitzeh, he wasn't mindful of Hoda Amar Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimah Mar Shmuel. What did he tell us? He told us something which would solve this this dilemma. He tiru ma'apul echle truma. Chacham allowed a kohen who eats truma to use a mop instead of washing, because, as Rashi explains, kohanim has reason him. They're actually meticulous. They're zealous. They're conscientious. And they know that their truma has to be kept holy, right? So they're super careful. In which case, they can use a napkin instead of washing, knowing that they're not going to touch. But an ordinary person who doesn't qualify as a zaris, not so accustomed to being conscientious, so if he's trying to keep his food tahar, he's got to wash his hands. Right? So what do we see? Ironically, a kohen is meant to have higher standards. He has leeway. He has some slack because he's going to be careful. And actually, who was Rav Ami and who was Rav Asi? They're okay, Hanan. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Kehanam Havu, they're okay, Hanan. That explains their behavior. So bottom line is, a kohen certainly can use a napkin. But regarding a regular person, we haven't really concluded. Here comes a new question. Okay, Chachamim instituted that, you know, ritual hand wash, pre-meal wash for one who has his bread. Now, suppose you're going to have the bread without touching. Somebody's going to feed it to you. You're not going to be handling it at all, directly, indirectly. It's going straight into your mouth. So Reuven is feeding Shimon. Does Shimon have to wash his hands? He's eating, but he's not handling. Likewise, you can ask the other way. Does Reuven have to wash his hands? He's handling it, he's feeding, but he's not eating. So we have the second question, we have the first question right here, and the next question further down on the page. Iboilu. Next question was posed as follows. Oichel. So Shimon is consuming the bread. Machmas. Machal, through a machal, through Reuven, who's feeding him directly, putting it into his mouth, without Shimon interacting with the bread. Tzorach until Sadaim. Oiloi, does he need to wash or not? The Shimon, the eater, have to wash. Tashma. Here comes a riot, Rav Huna, Bar Schoira. What happened to him? Avokoi kamid Rav Hamnuna. You're standing in front of Rav Hamnuna and you're serving him. Balam le umtsa, he cut him a piece of meat, and wrapped it with some bread, gave him a sandwich for achal, and he fed it to Rav Hamnuna, who ate it indirectly. Amar le. And he perceived that Rav Huna hadn't washed his hands. So he made a statement like this. He says, if not for you being Rav Hamnuna, that I know is going to be extra careful from touching the bread, I wouldn't have fed you before Netilas Sadaim. Amar li ilav the Rav Hamnuna, if not for you being such a great man as Rav Hamnuna, lo yisafina lach, I wouldn't have fed you like this. End of quote. Now the Gemara is going to analyze what happened. My time. Let's assume the reason why he would have hesitated is lav mishum dezor. Oh, why did he feed Rav Hamnuna? So although he didn't wash his hands, lav mishum isn't because the zohar v'leinog is actually careful, he wouldn't touch. So what do we see from here? That there's no obligation to wash hands if you're being fed. No, lie, incorrect. Very similar to the previous story there. It's a misperception. No, actually, he washed his hands. And that's exactly what he's saying. If not for you being such a great man, who I know certainly washed his hands, I wouldn't have fed you without you washing. Loi, loi, the Zoris Kodim. The Zoris Kodim was extra zealous. He quickly washed before Interesting. Rashi says that we see two words here, side by side, which means slightly different thing. Very similar, slightly different. First we had v'zohir v'leinog. I was careful not to touch. Then we said v'zoris kadem ashayadim yikara. He was careful to wash his hands in advance. He says we see that zoris is a notch higher than zohir. Right? Because zohir means, okay, while he's doing something, he's careful to do it right, not, you know. Zoris, on the other hand, anticipates. He's a step ahead of the game. He looks forward. Roya es hanoilot. He plans the future and he prepares himself accordingly to avoid pitfalls and complications. Okay? Brings the Gemara with the Zoris, the Hirus, right, on the ladder of spiritual growth. First comes the Hirus, which eventually evolves into Zrizus. Right? So the first level is the Hirus, being conscientious, paying attention. Then, next step is not just in real time, but even ahead of time as well. Anticipates the curve in the, to anticipate the curves in the road and drive accordingly to arrive safely. Okay, so certainly he did wash his hands, and the whole issue is a non-starter. Lloyd, the Zoris Kodem Moshiyodim Yikar. Toshmai comes another riot. So the question is, a fellow's consuming, but not handling the bread. Yeah, wash or no wash? Toshma. Dorab Zer Amar Rav. He quotes Rav. Leitan Adam Prusel Techpif Shal Shamash. One should not directly, you know, feed, put a bread into the mouth of the waiter. Elam Ken Yodei Bashinat Al Yodav, unless he knows for sure that he washed his hands. So it would seem from here that we resolved our question, right? He's consuming without touching. He's lost the watch. We'll get to that soon. Okay, speaking about the waiter, he'll come some more halachis regarding waiter halachis. The waiter would sometimes be offered, you know, a glass of wine or two, some bread. So every glass that he gets, he has to make a new bracha because he's not expect. Doesn't know. He has no expectations. In terms of their, you know, level of generosity, how much they'll share with him. So every glass is a metziah, every glass is an excitement, makes a new brach. But he did not make a separate bracha ha-maitin every slice of bread, because then he knows they'll feed him, not going to leave him hungry. Rabbi Yechon Omar, he says, no, mevarach ha-kol prusa prusa, he has to make a new bracha for every slice of bread. Omar Papa comes to our Papa and explains, it's not really a machloikas here, it just depends on circumstance, whether he's expecting the bread or not. Bishlema de Rav of Rabbi Yechon Lekasha can certainly resolve this apparent dispute between Rav, who says, you know, one bracha on all the slices, and Rabbi Yechon says a separate bracha on each one. Lekasha answers like this: Hadi katam chashiv. It depends if there's a prominent person seated at the table who will look after the waiter and ensure that they feed him properly. So now the waiter is expecting a full meal. One bracha is hamaitzi on all the slices. Hadi like adam chashiv. Whereas Rabbi Yechon speaking, well, there's no adam chashiv around, just, you know, a pickup meal. So, he doesn't know what to expect. Every slice he's grateful for and makes a separate hamaitzi. Right? So that's the halacha. If you have no das, right? You're not expecting it, then you know, you can't have it in mind, so you have to make a separate bracha for it. But regarding the first question, which is the focal point of our suvya, until it's a dying question, mekomukai mekomar, but ultimately, what does the halacha say here? Elim ken, you don't feed the shamas, you don't put food into his mouth unless you know that he washed. Elim ken yudeya b'yishinat al yadav. Doesn't that resolve our shayla? No, said the Gemara, it's a waiter. Waiter's different. Shani shamas, the waiter is preoccupied, serving and clearing and coming and going, and he's not going to be careful from touching, from scratching. So here, he's not going to be careful from actually touching the bread that he's being fed. He's preoccupied. He's not focused. So here, don't take the risk, he has to wash properly before being fed. Okay, now further on this topic of the sharing with the waiter, Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in Braisa, Lita Nodem Prusa L'Shamas. One should not hand a Prusa to the Shamas at the wrong time in the meal, Bein Shakos B'Yadoi, whether the Shamas himself is handling the glass of, you know, drinking from his glass, Bein Shakos B'Yadoi Shobal Bais, or the owner, or the host, is holding his glass. You know why? Because the owner might get agitated, might get upset. Why are you sharing the bread, which is in short supply? Why are you sharing it with the waiter? he might get upset, he might choke over his drink, and likewise, he might trigger anxiety by intimidating the shamas, who might drop his glass of wine. Shema yera dvar kalkola besuda might cause mishap in the meal. And finally, we have the halacha of the previous gemara of shamas. Shalinot al yadav, and before the shamas washes his hands, you can't feed him. Also, litim pruso, even the techbir directly into his mouth. As we said before, certainly a shamas, you know, because of his activities, will not be mindful of steering clear of the bread. Iboilu. Now comes the same question, the reverse. So Reuben is feeding Shimon. Must Reuben wash his hands? He's handling bread. He's feeding, but he's not eating. Right? So the question is, was Ntil Sadaim instituted even for the fellow who's feeding? So Reuben was feeding Shimon, Sorech and Tilas Yadayim, does he need to wash? Or not? Toshmai comes right. Tonit Vebenasha. So we learn like this. Rabban Shimon Leil Omer, he says on Yom Kippur, where we do not wash our hands. How do we feed the kid who needs to eat? Isha Madichas Yod Achas B'mayim. The woman washes one hand, the hand that she'll use to feed the kid, and Senes Pas, which she'll use to feed the bread, Livna Cotton, to her as a young child. But Amr Olav al Shammai Azokin, so what happened with Shammai Azokin, he was very strict. Shalei Ratza Lahachal B'yodei Achas. He didn't want. He resisted washing even one hand. And feeding his kid like that, V'gozru Olav, and they forced him, they decreed on him, Sheyachal B'shtei Yadav, has to wash both hands, go to the other extreme, wash both hands and feed his kid. Bottom line, washing is needed even for the feeder. Amar Abaye, no, Hasam Shem Shifsed. That's not speaking about the standard, you know, conventional Mayim Rishonim, the pre-meal wash. No, we're talking about Shifsed. It was like an evil spirit which rests on one's hand overnight, which must be vacated through the Netilas Yadayim in the morning. We wake up, you know, what we call Negel Vaser. The Ruach HaTum is attracted to our fingers, which represent the 10 spheres of holiness, right? So that's what we're talking about. So that's required before touching food, lest you know, the tumah contaminate the food. Interesting. Tesa Zakash, he says, what's the concern about Negel Vaser? He says, you ought to wash your hands if they're dirty. I mean, you can't get dirtier than that. Ruach HaTumah, right? So of course you should do Negel Vaser, Yom Kippur in the morning. He says, the Gemara is talking about different things, a different type of spirit, a Ruach Ruach called Shivsa, that is attracted to the food that's being fed to a young kid. Interesting phenomenon. And that's what the Gemara is talking about. Washing in preparation for feeding. Okay, but in any case, we're not speaking about the standard Netilas Yadayim, so it doesn't really relate to our question, which was, regarding regular Netilas Yadayim on bread, does it apply to the ma'achil as much as the oichel, the feeder as much as the eater or not? Tashmai comes another raya. Interesting story. Davud de Shmuel. So what happened? Shmuel, when he was still a kid, his father meets him. Ashkeche, he meets the Shmuel, his son Shmuel. The kabach, he's crying. Amal, he says, what's the matter? Am I kabach? Why are you crying? Am I kabach? What do you mean? My Rebbe, he smacked me. The Machin Rabbi, my Rebbe hit me. Machin Rabbi? Why? Am I? So why did Rebbe strike you? Well, because the Amarli, my Rebbe had a problem with me. He says to me, what kind of business? You fed my kid without washing your hands? So the Rebbe was complaining to Shmuel, the youngster Shmuel, for feeding the Rebbe's own kid before Shmuel washes his hands. Because according to him, the feeder has to wash his hands as well. The Amrali told me, Kosafis, Livro, you're serving my kid, for Livmashis, Yadoyach, without washing your hands? So his father asked him, so why didn't you wash your hands? Amai Livmashis, Amrali says, what do you mean? He's eating after wash. Hu achal. When he eats, I have to wash my hands. Ano mashino? So his father says, you know, you're right. Amrali, his father says, bad enough that the Rebbe is not proficient in halacha, he's going and slapping you? It's not enough, not bad enough to lay gomer. That he doesn't know the proper practice, he doesn't know the halacha. Mimchana Mimach, he's going and slapping people. No. So what's the conclusion on both questions? Vilchaso, the maskana is Oichel. Oichel mach masmachal tzorech until sedaim. So Reuben feeds Shimon. Shimon is eating machmas on account of Reuben. Through Reuben, he needs to wash his hands. So it's about the eater, it's not about the feeder. But machel, Reuben, who's merely feeding, Eloi tzorech until sedaim. So pretty clear cut system. You eat, you wash. You don't eat, you don't wash. Continues the mission. Okay, back to basar b'chalav, right? Tzor adam basar gvinim mitpachas achas. One's allowed to wrap a piece of meat, a piece of cheese, using the same cloth. So in today's language, would be like a silver foil, right? A long piece of silver. So we wrap the meat on this side, the cheese on the other, as long as they're not touching each other. Babad, shelo yunoigin, as long as they're not touching one the other zebazeh. Because otherwise, you got to rinse them off. Rav Shimon le'olaymer, shnei asanoin, oichlam shulchan echad. You have two guests at the, you know, the guest house, eating on the same table. They're not friends, not relatives. Echad, b'shulchan echad, zeh basar, zeh gvina. So two fellows can eat together. He's eating milchik, he's eating fleishik. V'ein chayshu without concern, because they're not going to share their food anyways. Now back to the beginning of the Mishnah, which allows us to do a double wrap, meat and cheese, as long as they're not touching. What's wrong with touching? I mean, they're cold. What's wrong with touching? It's cold and cold. There's no absorption. Yeah, and he the klifa leibah, you don't have to peel them off because of any absorption of you know, heat absorption. There's no issue of klifa, but hadocha leibah, do we not have to rinse them once they come into contact? So he might forget to rinse them. So luchatchila, initially, he shouldn't be having them so close to each other. Then comes Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. He tells us shnei asanoin, two guests, have no issue eating together. Oichlan al shulchan echad. Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami. Amar Shmuel. He explains further. Lo yishono. When is that not a concern? Elo shein makirin zeisev. They're not familiar with it. Not friends. They makirin zeisev. They're not going to share their food. Aval makirin zeisev. If they know each other, they're friends. They know each other. Aser. They shouldn't be eating basar and gvina on the same table, lest they share their food. Tani nam yachol, we find the same in the Braisa. That, in fact, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's allowance only pertains to strangers. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oymer clearly tells us in the Braisa, Bezach Sanoim, Shinus Aruch Lepundak Echa, two guests who chanced together at the same guest house. Zeba ben Atzof, and he came from, you know, Russia. Zeba ben Adorim, he came from Chile. Zeba ben Chaticha, so he came with his cut of meat. Babi Gvinasi comes with his cheese. In this case, since they're not familiar, they're not fond of each other, Oichlam Shul Echad, they're allowed to eat together on the same table. Zeh Basra, right? We're not concerned about mixing it up. But the Asrael, but Tvisa Achas, either way, this whole halacha of not, you know, serving meat together with cheese is only Tvisa Achas. In one, you know, enwrapment, which almost sounds like in one sandwich. So that's the, well, what do you mean? Tfisa achas hakadai, you're speaking literally about one sandwich, one wrap? Forget about serving it on the table, you can't. Wrap together meat and cheese and eat them together. I mean, it's really basa b'chol. What is it? Eloke ain't tfisa achas. I mean to say like this. This whole concept of not serving meat and meat on the same table, that's only when it's ke'en tfisa achas. It's like one setting. There's no separation. But let's say you have two people eating on placemats. That's a hecker that makes that separation. Right? In which case, there's no concern about them sharing, mistakenly, you know, sharing their food and mixing things up. Okay, so strangers, sure, eat together. Otherwise, do not. What about Shnei Achen? He had a shayla. Shnei Achen, two brothers. Unfortunately, there's some feuding between them. Not fond of each other. Two brothers, but they're not really mal. Can they eat basar v'chalav on the same table? Amalei, he says, although, you know, in this exceptional case, it would really allay our fears, because there's no sharing anyways. But Chachamim kept the halachis you know, consistent and clear, to leave no room for misunderstandings. So although in this case, you're right, there should be room for allowance, but there's a standard system. Relatives are typically fond of each other, so therefore they shouldn't be eating together. Amalei says, this is a phrase out of the Gemara in Psachim, Yaimru, so people will say, Kol Asrikan, Asurin, all the designed, you know, breads were designed, are Asur on Pesach because of the time that it takes to design it, and by that time we're concerned that it might have become Chametz. Usrike Baisus, Maturin, the Srikan that Baisus, he's an expert baker. Those are allowed. You see, the Gemara there tells us you can't go ahead and, you know, design your bread. You got to make it easy, simple. Otherwise, too complicated, it's going to take too long, and it's going to just rise and become chametz. Now, there was a fellow called Baisus. He was an expert baker. He had forms. So he just gives a stamp, you move on. It doesn't take much time. So perhaps that's not a concern. No, the Gemara says, although you're right, in this individual case, not a concern of chametz, but we don't want people comparing. Well, he's allowed to, and other ones can't, so they're going to confuse things, right? Same here. We keep things, you know, clear and consistent without making exceptions. V'tameich, according to you, no exceptions made ever? Had amar be'asi, amar be'echnan. You know, we're not meant to launder on chol hamoed. But mishein le l'chalok echa, the person only possesses, he owns just one robe, so they had their, you know, garments beneath, and they had this robe that covers them. He only has one. Chalok echa. Mutar l'kamsa b'chol shmoed, you can wash it on chol hamoed. Typically, you don't do laundry because you don't want, chacham don't want to, you know, leave all your laundry activity for Chol HaMoed. Come into Yom Tov, you know, with nice clothes, with clean clothing, etc., etc., right? A fellow only has one set of clothing. He's allowed to wash on Chol HaMoed. What do you mean? What about the Maris Ha'ayin? What about, you know, public perception? Yoimru. So there as well, people say, oh, Kol HaStrikin HaSurin, right? This is sort of a flip off of the previous case. Klasrikin Asurin, Srikin Bais Matarin. Only Bais's breads are okay, meaning only this fellow can wash. He can wash, I can also wash. No, says the Gemara there, it's visible. It's clear. It's evident. That all he has is this robe. How do I know? From the belt. He said they would take the belt off the robe and he would just wrap his shirt and whatever around his, you know, he would wrap the belt around his garments to keep him close. So you see, it only has one. He only owns that single robe, otherwise he would be wearing another robe. His belt, Rashi in Ma'id Katan explains, the fellow only owns one robe, so he puts on a different beged, then he wraps the belt around. Basically, his belt, Mechiach Alav, is the greatest indicator that he's in this type of situation, and nobody will mistakenly believe that you can do laundry on Chol HaMoed unless it's, you know, this type of extenuating situation. But back to the case of the brothers, typically brothers love each other. There's a real concern they might share their food, and therefore they cannot join together milchik and fleishik on the same table. Okay, back to the halacha of Til Sadaim, a quick summary. We learned about Koyach Gavra, we learned about the Kli, being machzik raviz, it has to be a proper kli. We learned about the water has to be appear like water, and have, you know, discoloration. And regarding the question of Reuven and Shimon feeding and being fed, ultimately it's the Shimon who has to wash because he's actually partaking the bread, as opposed to Reuven who's merely serving. We learned about keeping a distance between basar and gvina, ensuring they don't come into contact with each other, or that they don't not eaten on the same table by people who might share their food with each other. All the best to you, and hatzlacha.